here.
You're going with it.
Right. Good morning to everyone. Thank you, Cliff and team members, for giving me the opportunity to share my Alpha experience with the congregation this morning. When Nicholas asked me if I would like to join the Alpha, I wasn't interested at all, to be honest. I was thinking to myself that it might be boring and I might fall off to sleep. Nicholas suggested to try it out anyway for 1 or 2 weeks. If I like it, I continue. If not, then I can stop anytime. So I came. After the first week, I found myself actually looking forward to coming the second week and the following weeks. The presentations had my full attention from beginning to end, and no falling off to sleep either. It is a very motivating cause. Testimonies from the various people in the video were powerful, inspiring, and encouraging. There is no doubt that if we allow God to be in control of our life, He can transform our life to a different and new level. I also like the discussion and sharing following the video presentation. It gave us a great opportunity to get more acquainted and to have fellowship with members of the church family. I would encourage everyone to experience Alpha, even if it is only once in a lifetime. I guarantee there's nothing to lose, but everything to gain. Thank you.
Thanks. To invite Peter forward, if Peter's here. Ah, there you are. Thanks, Peter. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yesterday, our community had an event, so the whole day I was really busy. That's why my family is not here today. I got home after 1 this morning, and I thought maybe I should message Cliff saying, there's a possibility I may not come to church. But after a second thought, I was like, okay, maybe let's see how it goes in the morning, if I can make that decision. But thank God I'm here today. I was born in a Christian family. We used to go to church almost every Sunday. But as an individual, I think if I was asked why I was going to church, maybe I wouldn't have a clear answer to that question. It's similar to asking a little child, why do you go to school? They may not know why they are going to school in the long run, what they want to do. I did Alpha twice. The first time we used to have those evening Alpha classes, which were after work, and I think I didn't benefit so much from them. I think every time maybe coming so tired, so didn't follow the lessons that well. But the second time I attended Alpha, I really enjoyed it. I was looking forward to the next Sunday because I would go home, read through the next lesson. As I go to work every morning, watch those videos. So when I come here, I've watched the videos and we go through them for the second time. It was very, very informative. I was able to understand the things clearly. My highlight during the Alpha course was when it was said that if you were the only person in this world, Jesus would have died for you. I thought that was really, really powerful, and that gives us an indication of how much we are loved by God. The Alpha Course has also made me to understand why Jesus came into this world, why did he die for us, what promises did he make for us when he was going through his disciples, through the Holy Spirit. So I would encourage all of us to do it. Even if you've done it, I think it's also good to do it a second time. It's good to, even a third time, it's very informative, and it really gives us a purpose why we come to church and which direction we are heading to. There's also another thing that I would like to share with us. I finished my university degree in 2015, but as part of the degree, we are supposed to do 480 hours of work experience. And unfortunately, that time, that was when my daughter was born, and I was like, I don't think I can afford to do 480 hours of free work. So I decided to do two jobs. The idea was, let me save some money and then I can do my work experience later. Unfortunately, in 2016, I got a lower back injury, which was really probably my worst experience so far in life. It drained a lot of energy from me. Every time I would look at my daughter, I was like, there's a possibility that I will not be able to work for the rest of my life. How do I support this young family? I think I asked so many members in this church to pray for me, Russell, Cliff, Nicholas, and I think their prayers helped me in the healing process. And then in early 2017, I got work experience with the help of James. He managed to get for me somewhere to do my work experience. And then when I did that work experience, one day I came to Nicholas. I said, Nicholas, please pray for me so that I can get a job. And after Nicholas' prayer, it didn't take even a month. The place where I was doing my work experience, they said that they will be willing to give me a 6-month contract. I was very happy. When they told me, when I was driving home in the evening to pick up my daughter, at the traffic light on Nicholas and Bannister heading to the football ground, I think when I was turning right, instead of going on the left lanes, I turned on the wrong side of traffic because I was overwhelmed with all this joy and excitement. After driving a few, like around 20, 30 meters, I was like, oh my God, where am I? I realized I was on the wrong side of traffic. I had to pull over. That was how happy I was. And then I think after a few months, Nicholas asked me, how is it going? I said, Nicholas, it's very good. Just keep me in prayer so that I can get something more permanent, because this is just a 6-month contract. And Nicholas prayed for myself and Lucy so that I can heal, get a job so that our family can be happy. And God answered my prayer again. After a short while, yes, they said there's a permanent opportunity, I should apply, and then they'll go through. Of course, they'll have to go through the normal recruitment process. There's no guarantee. And because of God's love for me, I got a permanent position that up to now I'm working there. So I'm really, really grateful to God and this church for all the support that they have given myself and my family. I really feel like this is now my second family. We've moved all the way to Hilbert, but we still feel like this is the church that we want to come to. So really thank all the church leaders and all the members of this church. Thank you very much for your support. Thank you.
I'm going to invite Gavin forward now to share with us.
Thank you very much. Last year, Nicholas approached Katrina and I because we had been doing the Sunday school and said, I want to do big changes within the church and I would like you to be a part of it. And we could have said no, we could have said, you know, there are other people out there, but we felt that we had been enjoying the work that God was allowing us to do. And so we said, yes, we'll be a part of that change. And the significant part of the change was the introduction of a new type of Sunday school, which is called Godly Play. Now, some people may have heard of this, and some of you may have actually seen it, because Nicholas has done a number of Godly Plays to the children of the parish in previous years gone. We thought they were just a wonderful way of telling stories. And they are a wonderful way of telling stories. But the whole Godly Play program is not just the story, but everything evolving around the story. So we went along to a four-day program, both Katrina and I. We left our wonderful children in the loving care of my parents. And we were very blessed because my sister had chosen to surprise my mother with a surprise visit. So she had two families residing in her house, and three when we asked, can you look after them? And they said, yes, we can do that. Went along for 4 days and learnt how to be Godly Play storytellers. When you tell a Godly Play story, these stories have been told over and over again by lots of people in all parts of the world. The man who originally started it was actually a pastor who worked it was in palliative care for children who were dying from cancer and incurable diseases. And it was a way of reconciling the children with the inevitable death and the parents with the inevitable death. And the first story he told was the Good Shepherd. And funnily enough, that was the first story that I learnt in the 4 days how to tell. So it's one of my favourite. But the stories are told in such a way that anybody from any country, from any culture, can gain meaning from them. And that is deliberate. The stories have, in a way, been stripped of their culture so that not to offend any one race. A mistake I made when I was learning the story of the travel of the Israelites out of Egypt was I used those terms, and they said, you have to be careful because you might one day have somebody from Egypt and you're starting to talk about the Egyptians and all the horrible things they did. And it's hard to then justify why that person is a good person if they're from Egypt and the Egyptians did all these horrible things. So there was Pharaoh's people and it's always God's people. And that way everybody is a part of God's people rather than just the Israelites. Where Godly Play differs from the way we used to do things was we used to have a story, we would read a passage out of the Bible and then we would do a craft and we would talk about the story. Godly Play, we present the story. When we're presenting the storyteller is always focused on the story. And it's amazing. You would think, oh, well, you have to look at the people while you're telling the story to make sure their attention is on the story. But you don't. When we tell the stories, the children's attention is on our hands and where they're moving. It's very rare for the children to actually look up because we're always looking at the story. Looking at our hands, looking at the materials that we're using to tell the story. And the children become so focused and so attentive. One of the presenters of the program and our teacher actually told a story where she was asked to come and do a Godly Play story for a church, which is, you can do that. The children don't get the full benefit from it, but you can do it. And so she sat down and she did the Godly Play story. And afterwards, one of the members of the parish said, my goodness, That is the quietest our children have been in years. How do you do it? And she said, well, it's just the way we do it, basically. The godly play is split into several sections. The first is the welcoming. The children are welcomed to the room, and we do it one in turn. And we actually have a doorkeeper. The doorkeeper's job is to welcome the children and make sure they're ready. So if they're excited or if they've just come from playing outside, we make sure that they're calm and collected before they go into the godly playroom. And the godly playroom is considered a sacred room. So once they enter the godly playroom, they sit down in a seat, and there are always enough cushions for the children to sit in. We have more than enough. And we actually had all of the cushions, bar one, used up one day when we had extra children come in. So we still had more room to spare. Once all the children are in place, the storyteller then proceeds to go through the storytelling. They show the children where the story is kept. They present the story. And sometimes, depending on the story, a wondering happens at the beginning, or the wondering may happen at the end, or it may happen at the beginning and the end. And the wondering is a time for the children to think about the story. The questions are always open-ended, and the answers the children give are never wrong. For instance, we might say, I wonder what the name of this sheep might be. And the children might say, oh, that's Bob. And go, oh, that sheep is Bob. Another child might say, that's Emily. Oh, that's Emily. Or we might say to the children, I wonder where you might be in this story. When Katrina and I initially started, we weren't sure whether to explain to children how the whole godly play system works. But we thought, well, when we went to our course, nobody explained to us. We just went in and we were part of a godly play story and the whole thing. And we just sort of instinctively picked it up. And so that's what we decided. We prayed about and we decided, well, God will show the children. And it worked. The wondering wasn't very good. The children were very hesitant at the start. But over the term, their wondering has become more and more wonderful. And some of the questions that they have answered, some of the answers they have given are very insightful, very thoughtful. After the story and the wondering, there becomes the opportunity to respond to the story. The children particularly love this. We did a sort of a godly play where we talked about the term that had gone. And one of the things the children said that they really liked was being able to do anything. The freedom of being able to respond to the story that they had just seen in any way they liked. And we have a large table set up with response materials. A lot of it is craft, but there are other things that they can do. There are blocks that they can build with. And all of the stories that we tell are available to the children. We open up all the cupboards, we place the stories in specific places so that they're always in the same place. So over time, the children learn to know the room, and they walk into the room, they can see that the sacred stories about the Old Testament are in one place, and they can see all of them there. And they can see that the gospel stories in their lovely golden boxes, which are secretive and important and golden, are in another place. And they can go and they can take a box during their response time. They can open it and they can play with the materials. They can also ask either Katrina and I if we would tell them the story. And I actually had the privilege of telling a new child who came to our church to visit, and he pulled down the box and he said, can I play with this? And I said, yes. And he opened up. He started asking questions, what's this and that? And I said, would you like me to tell the story? And coincidentally enough, there was the Good Shepherd. So He said yes, and so I sat down there, and for about 5-10 minutes I told him the Good Shepherd. And he wondered. This was a child who had never been in godly play. I said, I wonder what this sheep's name might be. And he answered it. He was totally absorbed in the story. And the beautiful thing we find about godly play is the children become so focused on the story, and they concentrate on it and they listen to it. And over the year, stories will be repeated and they will get to know them. And you will be surprised, you ask a child, you know, the Good Shepherd, you know, and they'll start to tell you details of the story, which we've found more beneficial than actually reading the story out of the Bible. And that's because of the way the stories are actually presented. After the response, we then have the feast, which is different to what we normally thought the feast was, Katrina and I. We thought feast is lots and lots of food, huge groaning table, everybody crowded around. There's actually very minimal food. Usually we have water and we have crackers and we might have a bit of fruit. The feast isn't so much about the amount of food you eat, but the people that you share it with. And so we all sit down in a circle and napkins are handed out. They become a little tray for the children. They put their water down, they serve the water, they all pass around, and we all share a little bit of food. And again, it becomes the freedom of being able to talk what you want to talk about. We ask them what their week has been like, what things that have good that have happened in school, because a lot of them are going to school, so school is a very big part of their life. Things that have happened at home. The first time, they were a little bit hesitant, but as the weeks progressed, they opened up more and more, and they started to tell things that were quite personal to them. And it was wonderful to see them opening up to us, and to us becoming more than just leaders, but almost becoming a friend. Once the feast is finished, the final thing that we have is the blessing. And Katrina was very gratified in the response that she got for the blessing. The blessing was simply just, may God go with you, or have a wonderful day and may God be with you as you go, and that. And I can't remember who it was, but one of the children hugged Katrina, and Katrina hugged them back. And then every child wanted to hug Katrina, and that became a part of the blessing. Some days the children don't want to, they just want a blessing, because they want to get back out. Mum's out there, we've got to go to football practice or whatever. But most days, they love a blessing. And that pretty much is godly play. And Katrina and I have been very grateful for Nicholas's invitation for us to learn how to be godly play storytellers and to have the experience in teaching the children of this congregation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gavin. I'm going to invite Sunil forward. Thanks, Sunil. Another couple.
So I would like to endorse what three of you told before me. This is a great opportunity. Thank you, Cliff. And you know, my story is even worse than what he said, what she said. Actually, Cliff has been following me to join, I think, for the past 3 years or so. And I was completely avoiding this. I didn't want to attend it because I used to think that this Alpha is just like any other course, and you may see some films and just go back. You may eat something, you have a good feast and all those things. But you know, this one which I attended is really revolutionary. It is so good. You know, the movies, the film part, and then the discussions which went around. Actually, it was really, you know, touching, and it really made us think a lot of things. I would thank you all both, because this kind of service, which started from the past how many, 2 months or 3 months, this has really changed our church's the way of coming to the service. It is more interesting now. I wish more people will come here again. And one thing I learned from this, not learned, one I just realized from the discussions, or you can call it workshop or something like that, the discussions is, I came to know that the great, not no, actually I really realized it, that the greatest thing of a Christian is love. God's love, not our own love. I think as a Christian, our job is to share that God's love to others. So, as an individual, what I understand from this gathering is, you take the God's love and share it to everybody around you. So, anybody and everybody is yours. I think that is the greatest thing which I got from this. And when I linked it to Matthew's verse 22, 36 to 40, you will be knowing it. That is, love your neighbor. The greatest thing is to love your God fully. And the same way, the next greatest commandment is to love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Neighbor is anybody. Anybody is your neighbor. Whether he is in Sri Lanka, whether he is in Africa, whether he is in Europe, anybody is our neighbor. I think that is what we should take. We should understand from Christ's love. So, once we are aware of that, I think our life will be much more easier, because when you love your neighbor like yourself, I don't know, the opportunity is so much. And neighbor is not our just near neighbor, it's everybody. So I think we as Christians have to follow these two commandments, or this greatest commandment and the command. Yeah, these two commandments are some of the greatest things which we should imbibe in us. There was another topic which came up, forgiveness. And it was difficult for many of us to, you know, really forgive people. But forgiving people is really, it's not from you. It is because of the love you got from God. God is forgiving everything what we have. He loves us in spite of whatever we are. And then that love we are giving to others. So it's not from within us. So when it is from within us, yeah, it is difficult to forgive. But when it is from God, it's easier to forgive. It has to, the way God has forgiven you, you have to forgive others. That's what I understood. So those two are some things which really, I hope, will change my life also. The other thing which came out of my mind is about Israel and Emmanuel. You know, we all have a confusion certain times, like, what is this Old Testament, what is this New Testament? Why this is, in Old Testament, when you look, we feel a lot of contradictions, and New Testament is totally different. See, the one way of looking into it is Israel. Old Testament is full of Israel story. That is, it is how God loves Israel. Old Testament entirely is how God loves Israel and how he is giving prophets and kings and all those to Israel, and how Israel, so that whole thing, how we have to conceptualize it as a person, we should become Israel in all the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it is Emmanuel, God is with us. So in the Old Testament, God was with the prophets. In the New Testament, it is God is with us. So that two classifications is very good, because you know, we are sure that what happened to Israel, there are a lot of things which you take it individually, you feel why God is acting like this. But when you take it as Israel is the group of people whom God loved and he wanted to show us, it is like a illustration for us. The whole story of Old Testament is like an illustration. It is you in place of Israel. And in the New Testament, it's a new covenant. It's you are everything. And I hope you will continue such beautiful programs, and especially this after service, the gathering and fellowship. One more thing I want to tell. The the Holy Spirit. Actually, I also wanted to experience the Holy Spirit. And the prayer which both Michelle's and Russell's have done for me is wonderful. I felt really so amazing at that point of time. And you know, there's a certain kind of emotion which came to me. And I really relish those prayers. I don't know whether Holy Spirit has really come to me, but we won't. There is Holy Spirit is really just not that particular experience. It is controlling all of us. But there is nothing wrong in individually trying to, get the Holy Spirit experience. Maybe it's different, but to me, I had that emotional. And that moment of prayer was very, very powerful. Thank you. All right. That's all. Thank you.
Heather, I'm going to invite Heather for. Thank you.
Morning. That was a great song we had. I love that line, accept the joy that he gives to those who yield their life to him. Because I've been a Christian all my life, so I've never had an inspiring conversion story or anything. Just God's just always been there, and I've been aware of him all my life. But it's these last few months, there's been just... it's been a period of joy for me and for my family. The first thing is thank you everyone who prayed for Curtis. Sorry. He finished high school with his friends and he's now off to uni. And he's doing a reduced load, so he's not there as often as he would be full-time. And he's able to catch a bus or a couple of buses, and with the internet he goes, oh, I'm going to catch this bus to here and that bus to there. And like, it's great. He's got this sense of independence, which he wasn't able to have. He's been very gracious with needing to have his mum around. But yeah, thank you to the church family for their support of us. He's not quite better, but his back is so much better, and he has such a lower level of pain, and it's really awesome. Thank you for everyone who's been just so faithful in your prayers for him. The next great moment of joy for me was that I've done various ministries, but not recently. I've done Sunday school, done some main music. We've been part of this parish for 17 years. And now I'm honoured to be able to be the admin assistant for the parish. And it's truly an honour to be able to work for my church family. You really are. You really are our extra family. Our extended blood family, they're all over in the eastern states. But you guys, you've been our family for many years. And it's just great. Came up at the perfect time. So Curtis had finished. I didn't have to run him to school anymore. I was looking for a part-time job at the start of Curtis's high school. Both kids finished primary school. And then he got sick. And so we put that on hold. And I had in the back of my mind that it was, I'm going to have to start looking for a job again. And I wasn't sure, you know, as most mums returning to the workforce go, who's going to accept me when I've had all these years of not doing paid employment, even though I have skills. So I had a, I have a science degree in maths and computing. I worked in IT in Sydney in big financial institutions until I had Erin. I did some training in Auslan. I've lost the skill now, but I was, before we moved over from Sydney, I was a paraprofessional level Auslan interpreter. But then I became a full-time mum. And even though, yeah, as the women here know, yeah, you have skills, but you're not sure who will take them on. And it's wonderful to be able to use those skills again. I really am so appreciative. I enjoy the content of my work. I actually quite like putting documents together and moving things around on the computer and stuff like that. So it's nice to be able to use some of the skills that I have and to to have a sense of worth outside the home. You know, it's a self-esteem thing, and that's been great. But on top of those, I really think the most joyful thing that's been happening in these last few months has been the discipleship sessions and the spiritual growth that's been happening in here. You know, like I'm a lifelong Christian, but there's just this, I feel like I have this deeper connection with God and with my church family. It's just been awesome. The discipleship sessions on Sundays, the Alpha sessions, I hadn't been to them before because I thought, well, I'm a Christian. It's really for people coming. But it was still, the testimonies on there are astonishing. It's just awesome to see the way God has moved in really surprising circumstances, and people who felt they were so far from being redeemed just in their life, and they had no hope, and they've received so much hope. And the discussion sessions afterwards, it's been really strengthening of the relationships, and it's nice to, we get to know each other. Like, we know each other over a cup of tea or coffee, but that's only been, even over the years, it's only like, you just touch base with people for a few minutes and you talk, it's small talk, but this is, it's great. People are prepared to talk about their spiritual journeys and ask each other for advice, and it's just been wonderful. It's really been strengthened the bond between people. And also, part of my job was that I had to also join in the Wednesday night meetings where the leaders and helpers prepare for Sundays. And I was actually pleasantly surprised, because I was a little reluctant to go out in the evening. And you know, shame on me, I was pleasantly surprised that I ended up really enjoying them. It wasn't just about the, of course you have to do the logistics, like the practical things about how things are working and how the tables are setting up and if we're getting out of morning tea on time and all that sort of stuff. But we also have prayer time and spiritual discussions and praying for each other, praying for the people, you know, we break into groups and pray for the people in our Sunday groups, you know, at your table, or I said specifically for each of the leaders and the helpers. And that has been that's really bonding as well. So if you haven't joined the discipleship sessions, we're moving into like Bible. We're going through an overview of the Bible, and I'm looking forward to that because I'm pretty slack in the the actual. I have bits and pieces, but it's all, you know, like this. So I'm hoping it'll be in an orderly manner. I'm looking forward to that, and maybe being getting closer with different people on the, you know, just more expanding the feeling of family. So come along if you haven't, because it's actually really good. It's like we're doing studies, but it's just extra fellowship. And if you're interested in being a helper, anyone can be a helper and come along to the Wednesday night meetings for a bit of training and that, and just like speak to Nicholas or Cliff about coming along on the Wednesday nights to be a helper. These are all great things. I just want to say also that I'm really thankful for the opportunity and to serve my family as a worker in the office. I'm enjoying what I do. I'm really enjoying working with Nicholas. I've always found him to be an inspiring preacher, and sometimes he'll just, like, some of the things he says in sermons, sometimes he'll just do these little ponderings on spiritual matters through the day, and I feel honoured to be part of those sorts of conversations. He's a great boss, but most importantly, his boss is awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. We just have one more. Just one more, and this is from Catherine.
It's great to be able to share about our experiences of the learning journey that we've been on as a church this last term. As you probably know, I've had the young people, so from about the 10 to 13-year-olds, and we've done a youth version of the Alpha out in the office while the adults have been doing their adult version. And it has been a fantastic experience to see these young people grow in their friendships with each other, and to also discuss questions and topics of their Christian faith in a way that I've not really seen them be able to do before here. The conversations went far deeper than I expected them to. The questions were fantastic, and they had that safe space to be able to explore those things together, which has been a fantastic thing. I think it's a really important thing for young people to feel like they belong to their local church, and that it's their family and their friends. And I have loved seeing that start as we've done this learning journey together. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that continue as we go on throughout the rest of the year. So if you'd like to pray for these kids and for their friendships with each other and their relationship with God, that would be wonderful.
Okay, well, thank you for all those that stood and shared. It's wonderful, wonderful to hear God is moving in this place. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing Broken.